Hello. Good morning. Well, the message about the Passover and the resurrection is one of those biggest in the history of the human being, and it's not an easy thing to talk, and because it's so many amazing things happening, and just impossible to for any human being it's impossible to describe what really happened. And but I would like to start with just how great is our Creator, our Father, and our God. How great is He? That's what I would like to start. He is great. He's amazing, and we can't just take it so easy. But He's great. In Psalm 107, it's written, "Praise Adonai, for He is good, for His loving kindness endures forever." And then the psalm is continuing that, "Let the redeemed of Adonai say, who He redeemed from the hands of the few, those they have been occupying them, those they have been freed." They should say that God is kindness, loving, His loving and kindness. And well, the story of Pesach is about getting out of the bad times, very bad time, and seeing God, how He helps people get out. That's incredible. And I was thinking what I should to share when I was asked for this day, and I really don't take that as a big privilege, but I was thinking it's one of the messages I always am afraid to talk about. It's Pesach and the resurrection of Christ. But I said, I will do it. And not maybe knowing what I said. But then I was thinking and thinking. But I want to say that that's God's loving kindness is what was shown to the human being, to every one of us, as an example. And then in Psalm 107, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31, in the same psalm is mentioned the same things. "Let them praise Adonai for His mercy and His wonders for the children of men." And then the whole psalm is talking about it, what God can do, how he's looking for our souls, how He's looking for our future, how He's looking for everyone on this earth in any situation. And He wants to help, and He wants to encourage everyone, and He wants to bless everyone, and He wants to be present. Well, I believe the most of us have been on the Monday evening on the Seder, around the table, and we remember all of those great things. And I just want to give a little. I was thinking. I asked, should I put the message about the Passover? The answer was yes, and we already heard a lot. But I just want to summarize what I see, what happened, and I know I just will say a little bit, and you all know much more that will make you happy. And Joseph invite Jacob to the land of Egypt, and he came with few. And they stayed there with the children of Israel, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they settled there, and they start to grow. And the dream and the promise what God gave Abraham start to fulfill there. They start to grow. They start to be bigger and bigger and bigger. They became a nation. They became a big group of people, over a million. And I was counting it, and don't take it seriously, but it was my own count, and I was thinking probably 350 years plus minus, pretty good time living in Egypt and growing and not too big problems. Everything was just good, and they see a lot of children, and they saw a lot of great things happening, a lot of weddings, and just good life. But then the king was changed. and one day, and then he don't remember what happened before, as the word of God is giving us information in Exodus 1:8-14. And then what happened was that this king became afraid of them, and he, as you all know, and he decided to make their lives hard, and he started to punish them. And because he was afraid of them, he was afraid of them. You know, and made me think why we sometimes we have a punishment in our lives, because someone is afraid of us. You know, and this king was afraid of them, because they became bigger and bigger, because God gave them prosperity, blessed them a lot, and they became a danger for this human king, Pharaoh. And he started to do bad things. He put them under slavery, as we all know. And the bad times start. More and more hard things start to happen. And not only the hard work, but also he start to touch their lives, their children. He wants to kill their children. Well, I'm very happy for the story. And I'm amazed how God is putting all of that together, that those two ladies, those midwives, we all know their names, Shiphora and Pua, they said no. Because why? Because they fear God. That was their heart. They fear Lord. You know, there wasn't too many, I don't know how it was there really, but they fear God. That's what word of God is giving us. And they say, no, we will not do it. We will not kill them. And they fear him more than the Pharaoh, than the king of the world where they have been living in. And they say, we will not do it. And you know, I like the end of that story, that God really blessed them because of that, and take care of them and their houses and everything what they own. He just blessed them. And that evil thing what the bad guy wants to do, the God's people, didn't happen. And I think it's one of the miracles too. Another one was, as we know, the remarried couple, Amram and Jochebed. They got remarried again, and they have a son. But they have a fate, you know. In the time when everyone wants to kill your child, you don't want to have a child then. But they have a fate. They make a step of faith. They have it. And then, as they have the child, the mom need to put the child in the little, let's say, boat and put it on the water, danger water. And her sister Miriam was looking on him. His sister Miriam was looking on the little boy, and then the princess came and take him out. We all know the story. But you know, in the time when, in those days, it was a very bad time. Some people start to cry to God, start to cry for help, and some do an action, as Jochebed did the action. They believe. And the Miriam was watching, and she was so bold when she came to the princess, which she took the boy out of the water. She saw it's an Israeli boy, and just she loved him, and she take him. And her mom was nursing him. I see a miracle. Something is happening. Even it was very bad. And no one saw anything, but God was doing something. Something through the ladies. Something which was very small. No one can even thought that something is really happening, as we already heard. But God has a plan. And then the plan started. The boy grew up in the king's palace. He became strong and clever, very educated. And then he ran away to Midian, and then everything started. And what started there really was that God has that plan with him, and then he showed himself to Moses in the fire, and he talked to him, that he heard the cry of those that have been under slavery. You know, We many times don't think that we really cry to God, but there is a lot of pain. But when we start to cry from the pain, we open up our eyes to God and say, God, help us, if there is a hope, help us. And God saw that, he heard that cry. That's written in the Word of God. It's written that God heard the crying of those, cried out to from the slavery, and that cry went up to God. And he was concerned about them. And then he showed up to Moses when he was doing just a normal thing, taking care about his business with the lamps. And then God talked to him and tell him, I want to use him. And you know, we can read the story, but it's a long story, long talk. But there is one thing what God told him. I will be with you, and I want to deliver them. And he told him everything what will happen, exactly, step by step. And he asked God, Moses asked him, but what is your name? And then the strange name came as an answer. I am, will be what I am, will be. In one of the translation. And God really don't have a name. But at in those days came a time on this earth when God wants to show up to everyone. And he wants to show who he really is. That he is the name. I read some book about it, and from one rabbi, David Foreman. And he explained there that it's like that name, we can put that name together because we don't have the language, we don't have a reality for that. And I like that. Because we really don't have a reality in our world for God. Because he's about our reality. He's the creator. But he wants to show up, and he wants to display himself on this earth. And he did it. And he said, I will be with you. And for Moses, as for all of us, it's always like, okay, God, but how that will go? I am just who I am. And Moses was the same way. And I just want to say that when the Lord show up, he show up in the 10 plagues, and we all know them, and as we have been about a round table, we still remember them. And those are the plagues: blood, frogs, lice, wild beasts, epidemic, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, plague of the firstborn. All of those 10 happened there. But that was the creator, that was the creating power. God show up in the big. But what happened there? What was happening? You know, I my ministry is working with the people from the street. And I do everything very easy. And I put a lot of questions normally to be sure that people understand me. But what really happens when God shows all of those 10 big things, big events? What was happening? God shows to the Pharaoh, who is he? Because he don't know him. And he said, I don't know this name. I don't know this God. But God wants this firstborn be saved. And what was happening was that both of them, Israelites and Pharaoh, start to know God, who he really is. Both of them from different perspectives. One probably saw him as someone who can handle him. He's bigger than him. The other one saw him, oh, he's great, he can do that. Oh, he's our God. And they start to learn about him. You know, many times in our lives, we are just learning about our Father, about our God. And we shouldn't forget that. It's why we remember this. Don't forget who is your God. And who is he? How big is he? What he can do? And both of them have been learning about God, about Adonai. Who is he? And you know, the same author was also mentioning too about that was like the father was coming back to their children and start to teach them. And that really happened. And I am still thinking about how God was talking, how he's talking to human beings for all of those generations. And all of those 10 plagues finished. And the one was the last one. In the fire, God told Moses, "Then you are to tell the Pharaoh, 'Adonai says, Israel is my firstborn son. I have told you to let my son go in order to worship me, but you have refused to let him go. Well, then I will kill your firstborn son.'" And that happened. That exactly happened on the 10th. And then he let them go. And then they became free. You know, for many people that we work with them, the freedom is not just to be free from my addictions. It's just the beginning. And to be free from the Pharaoh, it's not the finished. It's just the beginning of something bigger than that. It's a beginning when we saw God in our lives. That's just the beginning of something bigger, greater. And that what happened because right after that, they saw the Red Sea delivered. Then they saw the bread coming out of the heaven. They saw the water coming out of the rock. They saw the flesh falling down from the heavens on the earth, and they ate everything. They saw the providence. But what they saw on the last, they saw the fire on the mountains, and they later learn directions from the Lord. And that's the biggest what they learn, and that's what start to really change their lives. He start to change their hearts. He start to have a fellowship with them. You know, we have a lot of different rules in our ministry with those we work with, and that's make our fellowship better. If we don't have them, we will be lost. But because we have them, we know where we are. And I relate very closely to this because it's what we need. We need to know where God, who is he and how he wants us to go and walk. And then he's giving them, he's teaching them that, and they are learning it for 40 years. You know, I got saved in different situation than is today. Of course, all of us in the past have been in the other situations, but I start to learn about God, and I'm happy that we have a time for it. It's not happening just immediately, but it's happening too. God is changing that through Christ in our hearts. But we are learning, and they have been learning 40 years, and that was the time of transformations and change. And then finally, they walk in the promised land. And the promised land, there was something what was promised. And that promised thing, they fulfilled that. And now they have another steps of faith they need to do in the promised land. They have been again learning in how to walk in God, how to be close to him. And through that time, the Tanakh was made too for us. And we have prophets and we have everything. We have readings and we have Torah, and we can read today. And then the one prophet, Yohanan, saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, "Look, God's lamp, the one who is taking away the sin of the world." You know, I like this verse. He's taking away the sin of this world. You know, the sin has a power, and we all know it. We all know it. But there is a one who is taking away his power. And he's coming. He's a lamp. He's a lamp. And we just read a wonderful verses. And he's coming and he's taking away the sin of the world. Well, the Lamb of God, what he brought to us, the end of the fear of the death. You know, I believe that God gave us a faith. He gave us a creator. He gave us a Yeshua salvation. When I made my DNA for some research, They told me we all have. I was surprised. They all told me that the, all of those PhD told me we all have the same Adam and Eve. And I go like, wow. I'm from atheist country. I mean, the most atheist country in the world. And then those PhD guys are talking this way to me, and I look at them, and I said, okay, I like that. Yeah, I believe in it. Anyway. But that's the beginning. Well, they have been naked when the sin was entrance to this earth, and God gave them a clothes from a lamp, covering. There was a blood. And then the Passover, there is a lamp again, and the dead jump over. But the Christ, he's a lamp. Again, there is a blood. But now he's getting out of the sin from our lives. If we believe in him and we receive it, then we can become free. And the freedom of how can be looking that freedom out of the Egypt, that Exodus, everyone is going through. There's a many different Exodus, what people are going through if they receive Christ in their lives and his freedom. Well, we don't have a time, but I would like to show you one story about one lady from our ministry, and that's about the freedom. Maybe if it works. I just get it yesterday evening, and I said, I will show that, because that's good. Yeah, yeah.
There are 247.
Hello. Good morning. Well, the message about the Passover and the resurrection is one of those biggest in the history of the human being, and it's not the easy thing to talk, and because it's so many amazing things happening, and just impossible to for any human being to be, it's impossible to describe what really happened. And but I would like to start with just how great is our Creator, our Father, and our God. How great is he? That's what I would like to start. He is great. He's amazing. And we can't just take it so easy, but he's great. In Psalm 107, it's written, "Praise Adonai, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever." And then the psalm is continuing that, "Let the redeemed of Adonai say, who he redeemed from the hands of the few, those they have been occupying them." Those they have been freed, they should say that God is kindness, loving, his loving and kindness. And well, the story of Pesach is about getting out of the bad times, very bad time, and seeing God, how he helps people get out. That's incredible. And I was thinking what I should to share when I was asked for this day, and I really don't take that as a big privilege. But I was thinking it's one of the messages I always am afraid to talk about, is Pesach and the resurrection of Christ. But I said I will do it, and not maybe knowing what I said, but then I was thinking. But I want to start that's God's loving kindness is